So if you would, open your Bibles to Psalm 34. And as I mentioned, I've really been blessed to have been going through this verse for the last few weeks, really. And one of the things that I've done is, and I do this with my personal study, it's so much easier these days to read God's Word because of our smartphones. You know, I have the app, the Blue Letter Bible, and there on the Blue Letter Bible app, I can, you know, have a verse, and every time I pull it up, it's on the last verse that I was in, so it's pulling up right to that. And then I can tap on one of the verses, and it'll take me to another screen, and I can highlight a verse, so it'll be highlighted in yellow. So I've actually, as I've gone through here, I've highlighted some of the verses that I highlighted in Psalm 34 that I especially want to share about how God has worked through me, but also how I know they can help each of us today. But that's what I like about it. Also, they've got commentaries. So it'll have commentaries with Pastor Chuck Smith, Matthew Henry. There's a couple of really in-depth commentaries that not only get into incredible depth and just analyzing the text, but also a lot of word studies, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, just really in depth. It'll be, if you get into reading that commentary on the verses, you're going to get overloaded with a lot of information, but good information. So I've always treasured those commentaries. And then of course, David Gusick, we have a lot of his commentaries, who's from Calvary Chapel, Santa Barbara. He's written a lot of just verse-by-verse commentaries. He hasn't done any of the Psalms. He's done some, but not all of them. And he's written most of a lot of the commentaries in the Bible, and they're very rich and very good. So I encourage you guys to do that. It's a good app, Blue Letter Bible, and you can also do word searches and things like that. Multiple Bible translations. If you want to get some of the ones that are copyrighted or more recently copyrighted, you pay just a small fee to do that. I think like $1.99 or something. It's nothing outrageous. And then you can download that to your iPhone or whatever Android type phone you might have. So it's just a beautiful application.
Do they have it for Android?
Yes. Oh yes. I believe they do.
We have Blue Letter on our Samsung.
Yeah, so Blue Letter Bible is available. It's incredible. I highly encourage you to get it. And what's really fascinating is that as Lynn and I have visited a number of churches outside of Calvary Chapel, even here in the Memphis area, one group in particular that we've gone to, they have a Tuesday night Bible study. We haven't been in quite a while, but they were actually using David Gusick's commentary. They were going through the book of Isaiah, and they were giving us the email assignments, and it would be the David Gusick commentary. And, you know, they used the Blue Letter Bible. And I thought that was really neat because, you know, they were also just kind of talking about the app and where it came from. And I got to mention that it kind of got started under the leadership of Chuck Missler, if you've ever heard of him, just a great Bible teacher. And so that group got that started many, many years ago, actually like in 94, 95, right when, you know, the internet really took off for all of us, when it really got going. And that Blue Letter Bible got started back then. So it's been around, it's very strong and a very good application. So I'd encourage you to use that. And then one of the ones that I use at home, I not only use Blue Letter Bible, but I also use a Bible program called eSort. And that one's really good too, because it also has all of those commentaries that I can pull in and use them. And so I use that oftentimes to capture the verses that I use on my notes on Sunday morning. So it's really good. Well, like I said, I've been with my phone, especially even late at night when I'm up. You know, I'll pop it up, and I'll go through and read through here and look at the ones I've highlighted and just meditate on those. And oftentimes will take me over to other verses and other things that I'm looking to get answers for. And this psalm in particular is just one that it's just really a lot of encouragement. And probably in all of your Bibles, you have a little pretext before it begins verse 1. It says, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Does any of your Bibles say something similar to that? And all of that is referencing 1 Samuel 21, beginning at verse 10. Now, it has a different name there, and if you just do a little studying, and there's another guy even before that, Ahimelech, it gets a little confusing sometimes with these names. You're like, okay, why did he say it here and another name there? But when you actually do a little bit of studying in depth, you find out that a lot of these names are interchangeable between the kings or the son of the king. And so David wasn't making up a different name here. He really did, you know, pretend to be crazy, because one time before this, Ahimelech is some verses prior to this in 1 Samuel 21, beginning at verse 1. And this was the time that David went, he was fleeing from Saul, and he went to Ahimelech, the high priest, he was hungry, and asked for the showbread to eat, and he gave it to him. And he had to go through some consecration rituals to even eat the bread, but he did, and he was fed, because even though it may be thinking, well, you know, only the high priest could eat that, the way the Bible kind of covers that whole aspect of even the priest going against God's law, saying this is only, the showbread is only to be consumed by the high priest, is to feed the hungry. You know, so that was one thing that a lot of commentators say that superseded the, you know, even God's law, because that is more important in God's eyes than, you know, the priest eating the bread as an act of worship. So it's rather interesting to read all that and take all that in. So I encourage you to do that. So, you know, that's just it. When I'm in a psalm like this, I can get, you know, not bunny trails, but like, what does that mean? So you go looking here, you go looking there. And that's the beauty of God's word, isn't it? Is that we read something, we don't quite understand it, or we want to understand it a little bit more. And so what the Lord does is he allows us to spend that extra time to get to understand. So what it's helped me to understand is where David was at this time. And he wound up pretending that he was going mad, really just to save his life. And, you know, we wonder, well, he was not necessarily telling the truth, and he actually even later on confesses to all this and asks the Lord for forgiveness for the time that he lied. But it was really a situation where it was either try to pretend you're mad or lose your life. So what do you do? You know, he didn't deny the Lord. He didn't, you know, do anything like that was, you know, like an unpardonable sin. It was a sin, but he also saved his life. So it's one of these things when you've got people that maybe you look at it during the time of the Holocaust, where the Christians were keeping Jews hidden. You know, you're not going to tell the truth that I've got people hidden. And I believe the Lord understands that. It doesn't mean that lying is ever okay, but there also is that time where it's like, hey, what else can you do in that situation? And I think the Lord helps us through that. It doesn't mean, like I said, that it's a blanket, a carte blanche thing that says, well, you know, I can, the Lord probably says it's okay. I think there are extreme circumstances, and only extreme circumstances, where, you know, the Lord knows, hey, look, that was really all you could do. Does it mean that there are other ways? Probably. And we oftentimes don't look for those other ways to help us get through, because we want to do what's right. But I'm one of those people that if it's something along the lines of truth and I get asked a question, you know, I'm compelled to tell the truth. Or I say, I can't tell you. You know, I've had situations at work where people come up and they want to know about a job thing or something like that. And I wasn't ever going to tell them a lie, but I also couldn't tell them what the answer was. So rather than telling them, I don't know, I would say, I can't say. And see, and that's another way to keep from having to, you know, be pressed on that and not lie. Because I've seen many people, especially in the business world, where they're pressed on things, they just flat out lie. I'm like, why? You could have just told them that, you know, you couldn't really give an answer to that. There's nothing wrong with that. So it's just kind of an interesting thing. And you couldn't do that, though, if you've got somebody hidden in your basement that you're trying to save their lives. You couldn't say, well, I can't really give you an answer to that. No, you're going to say, no, I don't have anybody in my basement. You know, you're just going to blatantly lie about it. And so that's what I'm saying. Those are extreme, extreme circumstances that I know the Lord, says, hey, look, you know, you were facing a situation and he knows you're forgiven. But David was actually very, later on, very, you know, remorseful and repentant of this. Because I think the case is that David realizes that if he had really sought the Lord would have given him another way so he wouldn't have to be, you know, pretending that he was mad in this situation. But look at what he does. He gets to this psalm and he writes this psalm because of that. And actually, this is a very unique psalm because every letter of the Hebrew alphabet is used at the beginning of each verse. So it's very poetic in that sense. And so he starts off and he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, David is one that we often look at as just a great leader, for the people, for the nation of Israel at that time. We also know that he was a man that got into a lot of trouble with the Lord because of his sin. It's interesting to me that people sometimes honor David so highly that when I have said that David was deserving of death because of some of the sins that he committed, you know, that they've gotten on my case. Well, you can't really say that about King David. You know, he was a man after God's own heart. Well, yes, but David was a murderer and an adulterer, and he committed such sins that even the Bible itself says that he was worthy of death. But you look at any of us in regards to the things that we think and do, because that's what the Lord does. The Lord says if you've thought it in your heart, you've committed it. That in a sense, we're all worthy of that type of punishment. But what we see in David is God's grace and compassion poured out upon him. And David understanding that fully and receiving it and declaring it to the people. So what David took in as rebuke and basically even punishment, or if you can, you know, just say that God really chastised him and he really had to suffer the consequences of his sin. He did. So here is David just really crying out and saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. So here's interesting that he says this, that my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. And he says, the humble shall hear of it and be glad. He's saying there will be this cause and effect for me that in my making my boast in the Lord, those that have a humble heart, those that understand what it means to follow the Lord, they'll be glad of it because they'll understand it. They'll receive it. And then he says something that, you know, really is my declaration always when we're here at church. And it's just a cry from my heart and even a cry for our city. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Because that's what we want, isn't it? We want this place to be filled up with people that are magnifying the Lord. Not to fill it up just to have people here, to fill it up, to say that it's filled up, but that people would be here magnifying the Lord. I want people here that truly, truly, that is a desire. Either they're seeking the Lord, and they want to know more about him. Not those that are you know, the ones that come in that may be blasphemous or whatever. You know, we're going to give them love and an opportunity to come to know the Lord. But if they don't receive it or they deny it, then we're going to shake the dust off our feet and move on. Because if we can't help them, then we can't help them. But yet, we're going to show people love. And the reason why we're going to do that is because we want people coming in so that we can magnify the Lord together, that we can bring glory to his name. Like we sang this morning, the first song, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. You know, we're going to be doing that forever. Forever. This is just practice. All we're doing today is practice for what we're going to be doing eternally. And I got to say this, we don't practice enough. We really don't. We don't. I don't. None of us do. But yet, eternally, we're going to be praising the Lord. We're going to be magnifying the Lord. So I love it that David says that he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Because that's what he's doing. So magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Now, this next verse was one that I highlighted in my blue letter Bible. And it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Now, I didn't really dwell too much on the part, he delivered me from all my fears, because I look at this, David was afraid of for his life. And I don't have those kind of fears, I guess you could say, going on in my life. So I spent most of it on the first parts of it. I sought the Lord and he heard me. Because that's really the crux of the matter anyway. Even if we have fears, we have struggles, we have different things going on in our lives, is that we seek the Lord and he hears us. Because that's it. You know, seek the Lord while he may be found. That's what we do. Because he will hear us if we seek him out. And that's really what the Lord always wants from us, is to seek after him. That's why my life verse, and that's what I always go back to when I read a verse like this, is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He just wants us to seek him. That's the primary thing that he desires of us while we're here on earth. Our first part of our being, we were created to worship him and adore him. And the other part of it is just to seek him, seek him, seek him, always seek him. So the Lord, like I said, it's been, I don't even know how many weeks, it's been longer than 2 weeks that I've really been on this psalm. And it's just like I haven't been able to move off of it. And I think the only reason why is like he's getting me ready to share it today, so that now he's got another one for me to share later on whenever the Lord makes that time available. So I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And that's the beauty of that. You seek him, he hears you. And he will deliver you from all your fears. Whatever is going on in your life, he's going to deliver you. You just got to seek him. And this is where David struggled. I know when he played mad before Abimelech, he pretended, and he was running from Saul, and he was afraid of his own life. But he also knew that, hey, if I just seek the Lord, he'll deliver me. It says, they looked to him, they looked to the Lord, and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. In verse 6, he says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. So here, just another indication of just crying out to the Lord, just seeking the Lord, and the Lord will hear, and will save you out of all your troubles. And it isn't that we don't have troubles. We all have troubles. The one aspect of life that I guess that I have a hard time dealing with are those that don't know the Lord. Because we're all going through troubles. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. We all have troubles in life. But I can get through the troubles of life because I have the Lord on my side. Without the Lord, I don't see how people make it. And people will do such crazy things. There was a story, you know, just last night of a husband-wife murder-suicide just close by in the Bartlett area. And man, I just can't believe it. There was a story of a two-star general down in Alabama just yesterday that committed suicide. And you think, why do people do such heinous things when really, if you just seek the Lord, He'll save you out of all your troubles, no matter what you're going through. The next verse is interesting because it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear Him and delivers them. Now, if you ever look in Genesis and you look at the times of Abraham, look at others in the Bible, you can also look, one clear verse is when you look at the time of Abraham and his maidservant, what's her name? Not Sarah, but what was his maidservant that his wife said to take her and have a child? Oh, not on the tip of my tongue. But the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said that through you, you know, will basically come the Arab nation.
Yes.
Hagar. And when it says the angel of the Lord there in the Old Testament, usually the word angel is capitalized because it's really believed that that's a pre-incarnation visit of Christ Himself. And same thing when Sodom and Gomorrah and Abraham is pleading, you know, with the angel of the Lord. And he says he's going to go in and wipe it out. And he's pleading for Lot. You know, that's believed to be a pre-incarnate visit of Christ. Now, like I said, here it's not capitalized. So whether it's just an angel in the Lord's army that's watching over us, or we could literally say, even though this isn't capitalized, but we do know that Christ is with us at all times. The angel of the Lord is truly encamped around us all the time. All the time, the Lord is with us. So there's never any reason to fear. I think that's one of the things when I looked at that and delivered me from all my fears. I'm not easily frightened by things. You know, I don't ever watch, and I know tomorrow is, you know, October 31st and Halloween. I don't get into any of the gore, and I hate all that stuff. But, you know, and even the Christians that do watch that, I don't understand it. You know, Lord, forgive them, but, you know, I don't get it. But I'm not afraid of anything that's related even to death. Because to me, death is victory. Death is the place where I get to be with the Lord. You know, we sang that today, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. And then the last one we sang, no more dying there. So death is nothing to ever be afraid of. Death, like Paul said, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's it. That's our entry into eternal bliss with the Lord. So we should never fear that. And, you know, even with the bout of things that I was going through health-wise here recently, you know, those things really didn't cross my mind. Even though I was told when I had the pulmonary embolism that, you know, there's a 50-50 mortality rate, you know, my wife breaks down into tears and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm here though. You know, it just didn't hit me like, well, I could have died. Well, yes, I could have. But, you know, the only bummer would have been my wife and kids that are behind and you guys, but hey, well, I'd be with the Lord. You know, I know it's a little selfish on my part, but hey, you know, that's it. I'm still upset with people like Pastor Chuck and all the saints that have gone before us. It's like, you know, man, how jealous I am that they're there with the Lord and we're here. But the Lord has a plan and a purpose for us, so there's nothing to be afraid of on this earth. Nothing. The devil can kill our bodies, but he can't take our soul. We are forever the Lord's. So the angel of the Lord, or angels of the Lord, are truly encamped all around us all the time. So we've got that. I've had times where things have happened that I know it was just a miracle of God, and it was either one of his angels or the Lord himself that got me through or saved my life and helped me. So I can certainly look at that verse and say, I know the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. And it's not talking about being afraid of him, who respect, revere, and love the Lord. And he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Takes me back to Seek Ye First, where it says there's no want to those who fear him, because that whole passage there in Matthew is talking about, you know, even the birds of the air, God takes care of them. The lilies of the field, God takes care of them. And why worry about tomorrow when today has enough worries of its own? You know, why get into all of that? Why dread or fear any of that? And that's what David is saying here. You know, there is no want to those who fear him. We look to the Lord, and he knows our needs before we even have those needs. And then he gives an example, and this was another one that I highlighted. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. So he's talking about part of God's creation, how they lack and suffer hunger. And, you know, they'll go and almost to the point of starvation and go out and make a kill, and then they're eaten, they're satisfied. But he's talking about, in contrast to that, for those of us, the people who seek the Lord, shall not lack any good thing. So other parts of his creation are lacking and suffering, but he's saying if you seek the Lord, you're not going to really lack or suffer. You may go through, like we were just talking earlier about the time that my wife and I are going through. It is a season. It's not, you know, that season or whatever. We know this is just a temporary thing. But still, through all of that, you know, we haven't lacked any good thing. He's taken care of us. He's blessed us. So we know that. So that part of it, still, to seek the Lord. And you're not gonna miss any good thing. He's going to take care of you. So come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, this is the call that God has put on my heart, is to teach others about the fear of the Lord. He's also put that call on your heart, that we teach and instruct, or at least lead by example. You know, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel, as it says in Philippians 1 and 27. You know, just doing that is preaching Christ and Christ crucified, how we live our lives. That's how we teach others the fear and the respect of the Lord, is by how we show the love of the Lord. I had someone that was in my workplace that is this lady is beyond, I guess you could say, everything is just falling apart. Everything is so bad and so bleak all the time. And there was a comment made about, you know, I said something to the point of just how, you know, it's okay that we've got to help each other. And the comment that she made, let me see if I can remember it, was that she said something in regards to helping others. She said, diversity is stronger than skin color and faith. And that was the comment. And I'm like, well, that's really odd. You know, and I said, well, I really lean more on the faith side of that equation. And the whole point is that, and there was no response after that, because, you know, it's like, oh, don't really want to talk about that part. But we've got to make sure that people know that, hey, you know, there's something within us that is deeper than the skin color, deeper than, you know, even worrying about this whole thing with the diversity that's going on. It's just about our faith in Christ that supersedes all things. And with that, we can have unity in the body of the Christ. We can have people that come together and worship the Lord together. You know, that's why I love to, you know, Brandon and them are traveling today. I love to talk about Brandon, because we were just two opposite ends of the spectrum working together and becoming, you know, friends, not knowing that eventually the dude's going to get saved. That was always my prayer. But, you know, hardcore rapper, just, you know, just everything, just, and you guys that have even have just recently met him, you just see the love in him and in the heart. And I don't know what it was. The Lord just, when I see people like that, I'm drawn to them. You know, this is the one that nobody says can be won over for the Lord. This is the one that everybody says stay away from. Well, that's the one that I'm drawn to usually. Because like, okay, what's up with this guy or this gal? Because no, God can get to anybody. And having seen it, I can say, look, you know, we can't give up on people. And those that are, you know, just opposite of you, it doesn't matter. They're, like I said, you know, Brandon and I, you know, I'm older than he is. He's much younger, and you know, I'm very, very much on the light skin complexion, and he's very much on the dark skin complexion. So everything about us just doesn't seem to fit that these two should be spending time together. And we did every day at work when we had free time, because that's what it is at FedEx. You know, you think, well, when you have time to talk, when you're waiting for planes to come in, you're just sitting there waiting for the next plane to come in so you can unload it, or you know, you're waiting for containers so that you can load containers. Well, you've got time to talk. And who am I hanging out with? The likes of Brandon and his group. You know, I'm the odd guy out, but that's okay, because I want to know more about people and I want to encourage them. And so when they'll say something just off the wall, I'll say, well, it's not really like that, you know, and they'll say, God's name in vain. And I say, you know, I don't think really God likes that word, you know, and it kind of throws them back a little bit, and that's okay. I don't have to get in their face or do anything, but I just kind of put it out there. And God honors that. God honors that. God honors that with somebody getting saved. You know, not for my sake, but for the Lord's sake. And that's how he uses you and me. So we do teach people the fear of the Lord. We do teach it by how we live and how we offer ourselves up to them. And so it's important that we're doing that all the time. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? And obviously, it's speaking about those that fear the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Interesting that David says that. See, it's like he's you're already seeing the remorse in his heart. Like, oh my gosh, you know, the Lord, keep my lips from speaking deceit, because he had already spoken deceit when he was pretending to be mad. But he says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This verse also is used several times throughout the Bible where it says that, you know, depart from evil, do good. And we need to do that. We need to not, you know, give evil for evil, but always when evil comes your way, we do something good. We seek peace, we pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. So the Lord is watching us. He's watching over us, and his ears are open to their cry. That's good to know, isn't it? That the Lord's ears are open to our cry. And the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Now, when we talk about fear, that was something to be afraid of right there. If you're in that camp, if anybody is in that camp that are doing evil, they're going to get cut off from a remembrance of the Lord forever. That's pretty harsh. But look at this, verse 17. And this was one of the third one that I highlighted. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. That's what we do. We cry out, and the Lord hears, and it delivers us out of all of our troubles. As I mentioned, we have troubles. But when we cry out to the Lord, he hears. And even those that don't know the Lord, when they finally get to that point where they cry out to the Lord, he does hear. But they have to cry out. I've noticed in my walk with the Lord, I cry out a lot sooner now than I ever have before. You know, it used to be when I was young in the Lord, because, you know, not only am I younger in the Lord, but I was also just young and ignorant and foolish. I think I can get through this. You know, I'll be all right. And then eventually, oh, Lord, help me. I really messed up here. Now it's like when a situation comes, oh, Lord, help me. You know, I don't even wait. I won't give it a day or two or a minute or two. I'm quick to go to the Lord because I know that he cares about that. So the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. I love it that David says that, because there are a lot of people with a lot of broken hearts. But he's near. And he saves such as have a contrite spirit, meaning that you have a heart that is truly repentant. David was horrific in the things that he did, just as Paul was in the fact that he had many Christians put to death for their embracing of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And Paul was you know, very shaken by that when he finally got saved himself, about all that he had done and how he really was against the Lord. But he had a contrite spirit. He had a broken heart about it all. And so did David. David was called out for it initially with his adultery for Bathsheba and the murder that he had committed against Bathsheba's husband, having him put up into the front lines, being one of his own soldiers, and David moving him to the front lines, knowing that he was more likely to be killed if he was in the front lines than he was. But the Lord called him out on it, and he suffered consequences for it. Remember, his first child died. He lost his first child from Bathsheba. And then the next child was Solomon. But you can see that the consequences were heavy for, and the penalty was heavy for the sin that he had in his life. But he did have a contrite spirit, because when Nathanael came to him and told him the story about the shepherd and the sheep and all that was going on and all that was bad, and David said that person needs to be put in jail or even condemned to death, and then he's called on it and says, well, you are that one. He realized that, oh my gosh, yes, I'm deserving of death. I think that was really the beginning of a lot of the repentant things that happened in David's life. This, obviously, this time here is a time before that, but I think the Lord was just working on David, getting him ready for even the more difficult times in life that he would face. Then it says, the Lord is near to those, and saves as such have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Amen? Amen. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Amen? Amen. See, that you can't say amen to the first part without saying amen to the second part either, because they actually both are true. They both are true. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Now, I know this might be difficult sharing this verse with my wife right now, with her broken ankle, but that's a whole different story. It doesn't mean that we won't get broken bones. It just means that in times of struggle, it seems like everything gets broken. You know, you can use this not only just in a literal sense, but in a figurative sense too, where we're not going to be broken and crushed when we're faced with difficult things. And I think that's more what this is leaning towards. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're not going to have a broken bone. Otherwise, you know, I could say, well, I broke my arm last year, you know, working out at the hub. You know, was I not being righteous? Was I doing something that I deserved to have a broken bone? Well, no, that there wasn't what that meant at all. You know, that's why when we have troubles, we all have troubles. We all have accidents. We all break bones. Things happen to us. That doesn't mean the Lord is not with us. But he does take care of us. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. So the Lord is basically saying justice is his. He's going to take care of it. In the last verse, it says the Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Wow, he ends on an awesome promise. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's really what David just said. Paul just said it in a verse that we can remember it by. That's really all that happened. Paul wrote exactly there in Romans what David said here. None of those who trust in him shall be condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. It says the exact same thing. You know, and that's the whole part of it for us, is that we know that we are saved in the Lord. We know our trust lies in him. We know that the angel or angels of the Lord encamp around us all the time. We are being watched by the Lord. We know that we cry out to him. He hears us. We know that if we have difficulty in our lives, we only have to turn to him. We only have to seek him. He's always there for us. We also know that if we want to go our own way and do our own thing when we're going through struggles and trials, the Lord will allow us to do that. Sometimes he does knock us in the head a little bit to get us back on track. But a lot of times he's going to let us wander down that path until we come to our senses and say, oh my gosh, I should be seeking the Lord. So that's why we've got to seek the Lord now. You know, that's why I say when I was younger, I would go down that path, but not anymore. You know, usually I'm right away, I'm seeking the Lord. And if I go a little long, I'm like, oh my gosh, I should have been seeking the Lord. You know, I know exactly what I should have been doing, and I go back to it, at least quickly, if I do go down that path for a little bit. So that's all the Lord wants for us. None of those who trust the Lord shall be condemned. So we have that promise of no condemnation of being in him. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, and thank you for the promises that are in this beautiful psalm. Lord, how you use the likes of David, Lord, who did so many awful things, but yet you showed, Lord, that he was truly a man after your own heart, because he asked for forgiveness. He sought you, Lord, and you delivered him. And even here, Lord, we see an instance where he professed madness, Lord, and we know you always, as always, have a better way for us. Help us to be a person or people, Lord, that would always seek the best way and not wander off onto a path, Lord, that is against your will. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We just continue to praise you and give you this day in Jesus' name. Amen.